Hey, folks. We are here. I'm Dan Fernandez, and you are?
I am Jay Schmelzer.
Jay, what would you say you do at Microsoft?
I have a pretty interesting, kind of fun job. I'm one of the group program managers on the Visual Studio team.
Okay.
My team is responsible for all of the Visual Studio support for folks building business applications.
So okay.
Whether you're the you know, ultimate of the enterprise developer building that mission-critical system, you know, doing things with WPF or Silverlight or WCF services, we're thinking about that. If you're targeting Office or SharePoint, we're building those tools experiences for you. If you're all the way, you know, someone that's more of just a want to customize inside of Office,
mm-hmm.
We're responsible for that as well.
Okay.
As well as pretty exciting new thing.
All right, so give us the big news. What is the new product announcement? Because this is cool.
Yeah, so we've been working for the last probably a couple years now on a new product, a new version of Visual Studio, a new edition of Visual Studio called Visual Studio Light Switch.
Light Switch?
Light Switch.
Wow. It is not 10 words.
It is not 10 words.
Visual Studio for the easy rapid application developer or something.
That's right. So we're looking at this product as the easiest way to build business applications targeting the desktop and the cloud.
Okay.
So really focused on those set of folks that are just trying to get a solution out the door very quickly. You know, something more in the range of a departmental application inside of an enterprise, small and medium businesses.
What's a good example? Like, LightSwitch is great for...
You want to do a time tracking app, expense, you know, tracking app.
Mm-hmm.
You need to track hardware that your team buys.
Inventory,
those kinds
help
of things.
Help desk. Okay.
Right,
sure.
All that kind of stuff. You know, think about it as the kind of app where, you know, it may be used by everybody in the company, but you only use it once or twice a month. Kind of thing. It may be, you know, running your order management system for a small company where they used to do it with paper, those kind of
right,
things.
Right. So, this is the upgrade from the person that's doing it manually in Excel.
Exactly.
This gives them an easy way to do it.
Exactly.
Cool.
Exactly.
Okay. So we got to jump into code and see like what the user experience is. So I think we just jump in and
sure.
I'm going to ask you questions as we go along.
Let's do it.
And you're going to avoid them. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So here we are. You know, in Visual Studio Light Switch, so it's built on all the goodness of Visual Studio 2010 and .NET Framework 4 and all those things. So
okay.
You get a, you know, similar kind of feel. All that power is there, but what we really tried to do was just streamline this environment and let you really focus on the task at hand and what you're trying to do. So,
okay.
I don't know if you don't have any better idea. Let's go kind of just start creating a project.
And sure.
What you'll see is, you know, we try to minimize the number of choices you need to make. So. Really, the only choice you have right to begin is what language are you going to want to use.
Okay.
We support both Visual Basic and C Sharp. We'll go ahead and just use Visual Basic for this, and we'll just create an application. And what I like to do is I'm kind of inspired by the eye doctor that I go to.
I get that a lot, actually. I hear a lot of people inspired by...
Well, it's actually... I feel bad for his poor receptionist and some other folks because he's got a bunch of PCs all around his office. Some of them are... connected to machines that are part of the exam, you know, the fun thing that blows
air in your eye.
And that kind of stuff, or takes pictures and things like that. And then other ones are just used for back office stuff. And one of the things I keep noticing is his receptionist sits there and does all the scheduling in Outlook. And
mm-hmm.
He's got two rooms, so she makes sure she only has two appointments at any one point in time. He's got a couple little back-end systems he works with, but then the invoices, he actually just fires up a Word document and has the receptionist type in whatever it was I purchased or what I'm getting charged for.
Right.
And then she prints that off. And then she saves it off to actually, believe it or not, a SharePoint document library.
Hey, that's right.
Where he keeps it. So, you know, I looked at it and I think we could do something a little better for him. So that's what we're going to do. We'll just build a little system that would help someone like that.
Sure.
So you see we have a streamlined environment. You see that, you know, business applications, it's all about the data, right? So we
And that is your, like, the core bread and butter. We want to make it really easy to build data-centric apps.
Yeah, data-centric, you know, line of business kind of apps.
Okay.
So, we can create data as part of the app, or we can use existing data that may be available in our organization. Right?
All right, so I'm gonna go a little crazy here. Now, what kind of databases are accepted? And you know, with this web service world, is that considered a data source? Can you use that sort of stuff, or the OData feed from you know Netflix to get stuff for your personal catalog and
yeah,
stuff
well,
like that?
Yeah, well, so hold that thought. We'll get into that in just a second. I'll show you a little bit. Let's just create one from scratch first.
Let's build the first one.
So we'll just do patient, right? And we'll just start talking about what our patient looks like, right? So we'll say our patient's going to have a last name. You know, maybe they're going to have a first name. We're going to want to talk to this person, right?
So what are we doing here? We are designing the UI, or we are designing the table?
What we're doing is we're designing the data structures that we care
okay.
about, right?
This is a database table.
In reality, this is a database table that you're designing.
Okay.
Right? And so, you know, let's go get a home phone number for this person, right? So we'll say home phone. And now you notice that there's a type here called phone number, right?
Mm.
So one of the things we've done as part of LightSwitch was we introduced the concept of what we think of as a business type. They're not real CLR types or anything like that. They're just sort of a more semantic thing that allows us to put additional metadata around this thing, this value, right? So we can put presentation logic around it. We can do validation logic.
Right.
All that kind of stuff. So, you know, when you create one of these things, phone number is always stored as a string. But if
yes.
you know it's a phone number, you can
yeah,
do more
yeah.
rich stuff with it. So we give you the ability to do, you know, something like that.
I like email address there. I saw it as well.
Yeah. So we'll go ahead and use that one too. So let's do a home phone and a cell phone. You liked email address. Let's go ahead and use that one. One of the things that's also nice is that these types can, besides that logic, they can surface up their own set of properties, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I could do down here, you see that emails has a default domain, right, that it understands. So we can just go in here and say, yeah, by default, use Microsoft.com as the email address.
Okay.
Let's do one more thing. Let's say we want to have a status for folks. We'll do an account status. And one of the things I might want to do here is decide that I want to constrain the values.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, this is effectively what you'd normally do as a lookup table.
Yep,
like
exactly.
here the, you know.
Yep. And so we can do lookup table kind of things, or for things that are just, you know, a couple code values, right? We could just go in here and kind of bang it out this way and say, look, I've got an active, maybe I have a paid, I don't know, maybe I have a overdue kind of status that I want to track. And we'll just
okay.
say okay on that. And you know, we can just keep going through this experience, you know, defining more fields for our patient or other values. But you get the idea. So let's get to actually putting this on a piece of UI so we can start interacting with it. So
sure.
I'm going to go up here and go ahead and add a screen. And when we were doing the research for this product and we looked at all of these business apps, we noticed that there's a common set of UI patterns people implement over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have screens for entering data. You have screens for looking for a
record
and searching for it and working with it. You have just simple grid screens, right, and those kind of things. So we said, well, let's drive the experience based on those patterns that exist rather than giving you this blank design surface that you have to pixel level draw things. This is an extensible piece of the product, so you can introduce your own screen templates in here, and we'll likely introduce a few more before the product actually ships ourselves. So let's go ahead and start, and let's go with the search thing. So it showed me a little hint of what the screen might look like. I need to go over here and just specify what's the core data I want displayed on here, and we only have patients, so we'll just choose that. Come down and say okay, and that's going to create that screen. Since we don't have any data yet, let's go add one more screen to make it easy for us to do that. We'll create the ability to go create data.
Okay.
And you'll notice we're trying to do some smart little default things and give you some decent, you know, names. They're not going to be perfect, but hey, they're better than screen one and screen two. Right? So
label one is dead? Wow,
yep.
Geez. Brave new world.
So at this point, all we've done is we've defined a structure for some data. We've picked a couple screen templates we want to use. And I'm going to hit F5 and fire this up, and let's see what we've got at this point.
So you've written zero code to connection string, blah, blah. What is that data source?
So what's happening right now is because we're defining that, what's actually happening behind this app, let's go try that one more time, is we're spinning up a local file attached SQL Express database for you.
Okay, SQL Express.
Yep. So we've gone ahead and kind of put a schema out there for you, and you know, we're going to kind of load that up and try to go off here and work with it. And now you notice that we've got the beginning of an app, right? We've got a navigation system over here. We've got some kind of ribbony kind of command bar stuff.
Sure.
Here's our patient list. There's no data in it, so let's just go ahead and bring up our create screen and we'll start entering some data. So we'll enter a record for myself, put a phone number in here. And here's where you start seeing that, oh, we got the valid phone number.
Sure.
So the formatting happened. These ones also have little additional editors on them, right?
Oh, that's great.
So that's all just part of specifying.
It's just built in, yeah.
Yep, that's the phone number. Put my email address in here. You see when I move off, the default, you know, domain came in that we specified in those properties and so forth. So there's one. Let me go add one more. We'll do one for the boss's boss here. You know, and save him.
Yeah, it's good we let everyone know his email address. That'll be good.
That's good.
He'll
be happy for that.
He'll appreciate it.
So now when I go just refresh our search screen, you see that, okay, we're getting the data back.
This is great.
Now what do you want to do after you found the data? You want to go work with it. So you see I can built-in navigation into these detail screens, right? But we didn't design this.
We've done zero code.
We've done zero code, and we didn't even pick a template for this screen, right? The light switch product just realized that, oh, you want to navigate to that. I don't have a screen to display it. I'll just cook one up for you on the fly.
Oh, interesting.
Here.
Okay.
And we'll see later how we can go and work with that. Other stuff that's in here, business apps always want to export data to Excel.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So every grid by default in a light switch application is going to have that export to Excel option on it.
Oh, that's great.
And it's going to just copy the data out into Excel, and I can go work with it. Of course, as a developer, you can turn that off if you don't want it. But you'll notice down here in the bottom, we've got paging by default, so mm-hmm. we're never going to go do a select star against your database. We'll always go and do things like paging and that kind of stuff. Filtering and sorting and all that kind of things are all built in. So that's the quick
that's great.
0-2, simple forms over data app.
We F5'd our app.
Yeah, no data access code. There is zero code.
It's all magic. Right. No, so what actually happened under the covers? We're spitting out a... What kind of app was that? Was that a Silverlight WPF?
So that was a Silverlight for out-of-browser app.
Okay.
Is what you got there by default. Okay. And a little bit later, we can look at some options we have for how we can control what kind of thing happens there as well.
Okay, so it popped up the thing, went to the database, to SQL Express, yep. And I guess it had the connection string.
It had the connection string built in, knew how to query it. We were making those changes, it knew how to do the updates and persist it back, so that data is now in our database and so forth. So all that without writing any code. Now, when we compile, we generate code. So we're generating .NET assemblies for mm-hmm. you, right? So we are generating some code just for the purpose of getting it into that assembly.
Right.
But if you were to put this under source code control, for example, you wouldn't see any .VB files yet in your project.
Okay, so what is a screen then?
A screen is just, we think of it as a model definition, right? So it's a XAML-based syntax, right? It's not actual Silverlight XAML. It's mm-hmm. just a XAML-based dialect for defining a screen model.
Okay.
Same for our data. That's the same thing. You've got a XAML-based data definition that ultimately will, we work with, we use EDM by default for talking to SQL databases or relational databases. So that's really what's going on under the covers there.
Okay.
Is that technology. So under the covers, we got EDM talking to the database. We've actually built a WCF RIA service for you that we use to talk to from, that's how we talk and get the data from our Silverlight.
Oh, so the Silverlight, okay, so Silverlight's actually using the WCF, the recently released, I guess, RIA services and doing that. Okay, interesting.
Now, one of the things you were asking me about was what other types of data can I get at?
Yeah.
Right? So, one of the things I can do is, we know that a lot of these apps don't just work with one source of data, you have multiple. So we can add additional sources of data to our application. And what we support just out of the box with LightSwitch is the ability to talk to our database, and this really comes down to anything we have a EDM provider for, an ADO.NET.
And yeah, is that like any, so I mean just
Oracle,
just walk in the SQL, Oracle Access?
We will be able to talk to Access by the time we ship. We don't have that in the first beta yet.
Okay.
But
SQL CE, the recently announced SQL CE?
If we have the provider for that, yeah.
Okay.
Oracle, there's MySQL providers you can get, whatever. Whatever you have the correct EDM provider for, we can talk to the same way.
Okay.
We can talk to SharePoint lists.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And then we can talk to hand-built, your own custom WCF RIA services that you might build using, Visual Studio Pro, Premium, or Ultimate, or the Express products. You can go do that. So just to show you some stuff, let's go do a SharePoint thing. So we'll say next on SharePoint. Show you what I'm going to go do here is I've got a little SharePoint site sitting on a different machine here.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned, my iDoctor does this thing with the putting
invoices,
the documents up there, right? So that's the document library. Let's go pull that in to our application. So I'm going to just copy the base URL for the SharePoint site, paste it in here.
Sure.
Click next. Let LightSwitch go out and figure out, okay, what can this user go see within that that data source? And in our case, it's going to go query back to my machine at my desk. Which unfortunately does take a moment every once in a while.
We did check to see if you had internets.
Yeah, we should be fine because we just saw the site there a minute ago. There we go. Looks like it's clicking over now.
Stay on target.
There we go. So this is just showing me all the lists that are available.
Wow, okay.
Invoice history is the one I want.
Sure.
I'll give it a little bit better name, so we'll call it invoice history data. Now, one of the things that it's detected here is that, hey, you got another list that's related to this one, so Lightswitch is going to bring both of those in for me.
Right, and that's because that invoice is hooked up to that other user
list. Yeah, it's basically the user information list is what SharePoint uses on the coverage to track, you know, who made the last update to this document, who checked it out, that kind of stuff. So you see we have all these relationships coming off over to that other thing. But this is the thing we care about, our document library.
That's a one-to-many, 0.1-to-many? What's the point?
These are zero one-to-many.
Okay. Right? Zero or one-to-many.
Yeah, so now, it's a SharePoint list, so there's lots of stuff that's part of a SharePoint list. You don't care about most of this stuff, but we need to keep it around so you can make updates.
Okay.
One of the things we do know, though, is we know that some of these things you don't care about, right? So if you look at content type ID, no one's ever going to want to see that on a screen. So by default, it's not visible.
Right.
But something like...
So you're doing smart defaults and hiding that stuff for SharePoint.
Trying the best we can, right? I also can't change the structure of the SharePoint list within Lightswitch.
Mm-hmm.
But I can still use those business types.
Oh, nice.
So I can go in and remember, if you notice, there were a bunch of email addresses in one of the columns. Well, that's the customer is actually an email address. So we'll just tell Lightswitch that's what that is.
Okay.
So now when I'm editing and stuff, I get all that richness that I had before. So we have this in here. We can start using this. But what I really want to do is add a relationship back to my SQL Server database so that I can get...
The one we created the last step, sure.
Yeah, so I can get the documents associated with that patient. So we'll go ahead and add a relationship. And from this dialog, we'll just come in and we'll say we're going to relate invoice history to patient. And then we're going to tell it what fields to do the relationship on. So we'll choose the customer from the document library and map that to the email address for our patient in SQL Server.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say OK. And Lightswitch is now going to go and create a relationship there. You notice the line's a little different. It's dotted versus solid that we see over here. And that's just giving you a little visual cue that you've spanned two physical sources. Right?
Okay.
And we don't do transactions and stuff across those, right? We'll transact against an individual data source, but we don't try to do things across. That's
crazy talk.
That's craziness.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got that set up. Let's go get that on a piece of UI as well. So what I'll do is I'm going to add a screen. And you remember last time when we chose a customer from the search screen, Lightswitch generated a detail screen for us, right?
Now you want to generate
it. Let's go ahead and do our own.
Sure. Right?
So we're going to go ahead and choose a detail screen template. We'll again choose the patient as the primary, and this time you notice that it's detecting, hey, there's a relationship to the invoices. Do you want those to the invoice history documents? We'll pull both of those in. We'll say okay. We'll hit F5 and see what we've got at this point. You're kind of quiet for you. Are you just blown away?
I am letting you do the demo. I got a lot of questions going on
Okay.
As we go on, but yeah.
So we'll go in and we'll navigate to myself here, and now we see we got a different layout, right? We got a two-column kind of layout.
Okay.
And here's all the documents, right, that have my...
These are directly from the SharePoint.
Directly from that SharePoint site.
Awesome.
Again, still have not written a line of code, right? We still don't have a line of code in our solution, right? All this stuff is just happening based on the declarative things we've done in the product and in the tool. So kind of cool. Let me show you one more data source. Let me just show you the experience for talking to a relation.
All right, let me know when I can ask questions.
All right, we'll just do one more here. let's go to a database, and it's going to be a fairly familiar experience, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to a SQL Azure database.
Oh, I thought we were going to go to a hilarious Northwind.
No, this is a SQL Azure database.
Nancy DeVolio. I wanted to start a fan site for her, but then, restraining order and all that stuff stopped that.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Track. Yeah.
So
are we going to see your password? Oh, it's too bad.
Nope, sorry. There we go. So we got a little database out here. So you can imagine that, you know, the scenario may be that I have a distributor that put a product catalog with pricing and rebate information up there that I can use in an app to make sure I'm accurately getting stuff. So we got product and product rebates is all that we're pulling back out of here.
Okay.
Again, similar to what we saw for SharePoint, Lightswitch is going to go create the structure for us.
So product rebates are... Is a cloud SQL Azure?
Yes, it's a cloud SQL Azure.
Okay, how about Azure Table Storage?
We don't do Azure Table Storage.
Ouch.
Not in V1.
Okay, not in V1. So there's hope yet.
Sure.
Sign up some other poor engineer.
Why not? Why not? So I'm just going through and using those business types again to just describe a little bit more. So one of the things you saw me do was, you know, maybe I don't care about the time. I just want date.
Let's talk. Are you going to show the image?
Yeah. So let's.
Okay. Okay.
So let's go put this on a screen, and we'll show you one of the templates.
That's always one of the nasty things of having to do the, stream reader reading bytes 0 to end of.
So I'm going to do a list and details screen, pulling in both the product details and the rebates, right?
Sure.
So we'll just say, okay, go ahead and give us ourselves an F5 on that one as well. And let's see what we got. So, you know, new thing came up over here, so we can go look at our products. And now what we're going to see is that we have a list of products on the left. And as
okay.
I scroll through, we see the, you know, that detail information. Sorry. Detail information over here, including the image, as well as the rebates.
Okay.
Now, just like the phone number had that little type editor to break out area codes and things like that, well, the email, the image has a built-in ability to go and load new images, right, and
okay.
save them into the database for you. So you didn't have to write
so
any of that.
Yeah, so in the data entry, I could easily do that.
Yeah. So if you had a you wanted to switch the image out, you could go do that. If you wanted to clear the image, you could do that as well. So this is okay, but, you know, our list over here is kind of boring, right? Just some text.
Yeah, so are we going to show a little customization?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
So far we haven't done any real customization. So as a developer...
Yes, customized screen, what is that?
So what I can do is I can take an individual screen while the application is running and put it into a customization mode. So now we've taken that list and detail screen that is our product list. The data is still all live. So we're still going and actually retrieving live data and showing you what's happening.
So it's like a live GUI edit.
Yep. And now we can go and start and customizing this. So one of the things we've done is we defined a set of styles that is another extension point where, you know, by default we're showing a summary, but...
When you say extension point, this means customers could build their own.
Customers in the ecosystem could add additional experiences in this place, right? So,
okay.
So I've got one in here that understands how to display, you know, maybe a picture on the left and some text on the right. And all we need to do is map up whichever of these subtypes or substyles that we care about to our data. So we'll just put the picture to the product image. We'll put the title to the product name.
Ooh.
And so you're getting that rich live preview, right? You see your live data coming in.
Right.
And you get a feel for, okay, is this what I want or not?
Sure, sure.
So we can do that. You know, we can do things like over here in our details pane, right? We can decide that we want to go and move some of these things around. So maybe, you know, I look at something like the category. Let's get that up closer to the product name. So I'll just keep bumping it up. And as
sure,
I'm doing
and
that,
it's moving up
you're
there.
Seeing it over there, right? So we'll take the suggested price. Let's move that a little bit closer to where the actual rebates are, right?
Sure,
and so
sure.
forth. You know, we could keep going. We can go down into our grid here and decide that, you know, nobody ever really cares about the ID value. So let's just go ahead and delete that entirely.
Yes.
We can make complete changes to these things as well. We could decide that we really don't want this as a grid. We want it as a list, right? We can just completely change the control
sure,
type.
Sure, sure.
That as well. Let's put it back to a grid. That's more useful.
Okay, so we've seen... I think one of the things that you know, you kind of have to take a step back because we are such the, you know, since Alan Cooper days, you are going to do the UI.
Yep.
You are going to drag and drop controls from the left to the right and maybe do some data source thing and rename stuff. So in this model, everything, you start with the data and we'll automatically build the UI for that data.
Right. You take the data and you apply one of the templates to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Lightswitch will figure out what's the best way to lay that out based on the hints that we get from the template.
Okay.
So that's where you see some cases it's just a single straight list. Some places, oh, we'll do two columns. We could do three columns, whatever
sure.
the template tells us to do. We have some just default heuristics for what are the right controls to map based on the data type.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So strings and things will go in text
boxes.
Yeah,
yeah.
You even notice that things like the ID, you know, we defaulted it to a label because it's the primary key.
Yeah, exactly. It's not something you want somebody
yep.
to change. Sure.
Those kind of things. And then you can go and the idea is let's get you as far as we can, right? And then let you start doing the tweaking, right? So if I wanted the product ID to not be a label and be a text box, well, I can switch that, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I thought the text box was too big, I can go down here and say, let's make this a little bit smaller, and I can do a custom setting on this and say, oh, let's shrink this sucker down, right?
Okay.
And you see that it's, you know, I'm specifying the size of that stuff. Or I can just leave it auto-sized.
And those are what we're looking at in terms of the properties, this is properties of a text box or of a sort of special view of what a Lightswitch text box can
yeah.
do.
These are properties of the Lightswitch screen model, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
Right? So it's the kind of properties that we surface to map into and then set appropriately on the underlying UI control, right? So in this case, you know, if you set custom, we're going to set that as the width property for that Silverlight text box, right?
Okay.
That we're using. But that's what also allows us to flip between control types more easily, because we can sit one little level of abstraction away from those things.
Right, right.
So when we're happy with this, we can save it. We go right back into our app. Our app's been running the whole time, right? Just that screen is going to be refreshed, right? And we get the new values and so forth.
Okay, sweet.
Cool. Still haven't written any code.
Yeah, so what are the things where you know, Light's like very easy to do RAD applications on data when, you know, somebody wants to sort of push the boundaries of, geez, why don't I use this for all my applications or something, some internal applications? What are the areas where, because this works, and just talk about the integration with VS Pro, Bob, or Express, and all the other SKUs.
So, in a minute, I'll come in and show you that we really can write code, and people really will write quite a bit of code in these light switch applications. But what we're trying to do is really let you focus on the stuff that's unique to your application, the unique business rules and unique logic and that kind of stuff. Not this kind of boilerplate, get data out of the database, put in a set of controls, take it back from the controls and put it
right. Right.
There's not a lot of unique value add to that stuff, so we can just provide that for you. When we talk about integration with things like Visual Studio Professional, Premium and Ultimate, Expression Blend, things like that, what we allow you to do is at pretty much any level you want to in here, you could decide that I want to go take control of the experience. So we could say, rather than a grid, I've got my own custom thing that I want to use to represent this set of data.
Okay.
Right? So you'd choose that. We'd then point over to what the control is that you want to use. And that you could have authored in, you know, Visual Studio Professional or just a standard, you know, Silverlight control with a couple interfaces depending on how much integration you need.
Okay.
And now suddenly, you know, your data, your screen's going to show up. LightSwitch is going to lay out this part of it and then let you control this area, right? And then if you put something else around it, we'll just negotiate the layout of the screen with you that way. So you could do this at an individual control level. You can do it at the entire screen level. Right, for example?
Yeah, so let's talk about the screen level. So the example is, you know, somebody can break out all the data. What they really need is, you know, they're working at a company, Disney, and they just want it to have, say, Disney colors, whatever Disney colors are these days. Like, they go to a designer, and they're using Silverlight 4. They just want to come up with basically a screen template. How would they do that, and then how would they sort of apply it? What's the workflow or integration?
Right, well, so there's a couple aspects of it. One of the things that we can do is in the properties of your application, there are two main things here that control the overall look and feel.
Ah.
There's a shell, right, which controls, you know, where the global navigation, what's the windowing mechanism, what's the navigation mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And in a minute, I'll show you an alternate shell that's done via the community extension model. And then there's a set of themes, right? And this is what controls basically the color palette and can get to some level of styling of controls as well. So it's not quite like...
But you could imagine, you know, so these are customizable both, you know, community, third-party control vendors.
We're working really hard. It's not quite there for the first beta, but as we get closer towards releasing the product, you'll see that we're working really hard to make sure that the themes, like the Silverlight theme packs, for example, can just work.
And I love those. That's what I was going to ask, because they leveraged or were inspired by the Metro Windows Phone one, and there's a Windows Phone one that people really love. So, I mean, just to make that, like, you know, a gorgeous data entry system would be awesome.
Yeah. So those are the two main ways that you would control something like that.
Okay.
And then, again, it's just going to apply it globally, right, and consistently across your solution. Now, any place you've done custom things, if you didn't do the extra little bit of work to make sure you're kind of subscribing to the same kind of theming service that we're using.
Yeah, if you hard-coded your theme, then you're going to have the ugly control on it. Sure.
Exactly. But that's the idea there. So a couple things we could do. I could write a little bit of code just so people see that you can write code.
Yeah, so let's write some code, and maybe it's a data validation or something where setting a product, I don't know, a price or something has to be greater than $5.
Well, one of the things we could do is we could go in and let's go into our patient, right? And you notice both these phone numbers are optional. So we could go in here and let's just add a custom validation rule that says at least one of them must be provided, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I'll go in here and, you know, here we are, the the Visual Studio 2010 editor, right?
So this is full VB.
This is full Visual Basic in this case, right? Or C sharp if we chose the other route.
Sure, sure.
And let's just do something like, you know, string not is null or empty, you know, me dot cell phone, right? So you get that strongly typed access to your,
okay,
your data structures. String dot is null or empty, me, sorry, cell phone. And now I can just sort of deal with the results. So one of the things I can do in the results of this is I can add an error either at the entity level, right, like the patient level, or at a specific property level if I wanted to. We'll just do it at the top level in our case.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay, great. So that's I'm trying to remember the old school Windows, started in Windows Forms where you had the little asterisk on the field. But same thing in WPF.
So we'll just go put that kind of thing in there. And now if I go ahead and run it, we'll bring up, we'll find a patient that, I think I didn't put phone numbers in for Jason.
Yep.
He probably, I gave everybody his email address, but I didn't.
We should definitely let people call him.
Call him on his cell.
He's not busy.
He'd enjoy that, I think. So let's go into Jason. And what I'll do is let's just go play with something to make his record a little dirty here. So you notice as soon as I start editing it,
I get a validation error. Ah, I like that little pop-up action,
right? Too. And so what we'll do is we'll show you the summary up here, how many are invalid, and then you can go and you'll see all the individual ones. Now, this is just a little bug right now. If it was tied to a specific property, when I clicked this, focus would have gone to the property, right?
So one thing, actually, and this is unrelated, where are you all in the product? Because, you know, I'm sure you guys will maybe ship with a couple more themes, and people that want to get, like, how much of this is early version?
So, so we just announced the fact that we're building this product recently, right? And then on August 23rd, we are going to ship the first public beta of this. Now, it's an early beta.
Okay.
It's not feature complete. There's some things we know are missing.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things that we're looking forward to people giving us feedback that are missing.
Okay.
And then we'll, based on that, we will finalize our beta 2 and RTM schedules. But so there's definitely opportunity for feedback that we're really interested in getting from folks on, you know, what things are missing to actually complete a business scenario that folks have.
Right, right.
And we know there's a couple. So that's kind of where things are at. So, you know, you're not going to go off and build a production system with this in beta 1, but you certainly can, you know, spend some time, kick the tires, exercise it a bit and figure out, okay, is this going to work for you or not?
Okay.
So that's a simple thing. Let me show you one more interesting thing here you see all the dirty checking kinds of stuff, right?
Sure. Change the row.
Which I have to admit, as an application developer in the past, I may have forgotten to do that once or twice.
Might
have.
Yeah.
One other thing I'll just show you is let's say that, remember we had our little product and rebate thing going on, but we never told you what the current price would actually be with effective rebates.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone into MySQL, the structures that are related to MySQL Azure database, and I've added a field.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly I can't go just update a data structure behind the scenes. So what we've done is by default we recognize that this is going to be a computed value, so it's not going to be stored. Right. We'll just compute it on the fly.
Okay, yeah, based on something else.
Yep. And so what I can do is I'll
other fields.
Go in and implement that calculation. Once again, just to give you a sense of what we're built on here, I could do some little for each-ing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of code I think you'd write.
Ouch. Are you saying I'm not
love.
A linker?
Nothing but love.
I'm a linker.
But just to show that we're...
You need to be using more snippets is what I think.
Well, the other reason I don't is, you know, you got to see all the... Get all the rebates right. Where? Look at that. No line continuation characters.
Amanda Silver's smiling somewhere.
Yep. Into some of our dot rebate. Okay. And then we'll just say, okay, the result is equal to the suggested price minus our total rebates. Okay.
Okay.
And we'll go back to our screen.
And just so people understand, maybe you can increase the font size so we can take a look at this.
Sure.
Real quick, and I don't know if you can mouse zoom with your touchpad.
Let's see. I've done this once. Let's see if it works.
Stay on target.
Not going to work.
Okay.
I'm not falling for the pulling up the font style.
Tools options and then 30 choices. So.
Sorry.
In the code model. What I see is it's a subroutine, so it's not returning a value, but you're getting a reference to the result. So that is, whenever you're doing a computed value, you are getting, you pass me in what I'm supposed to be getting, then you play with it and pass it. So just basically change that value.
Right. You'll notice that what happens is this is hanging off, this is part of the definition of that product structure, right?
Right.
So it has access to everything you can get to from a product.
Mm-hmm.
Including we could get down into relationships like we did here to the rebates. And then all we need to do is return back the actual result. And so we did it, you know, in this more partial method kind of flavor as opposed to event-based kind of stuff or function-based kind of things.
That's okay.
A choice we made.
So, but that is like the default. You'll see that this model or pattern or whatever you want to call it, this is how you do everything.
Yep. Yep.
Exactly. We're going to pass something in, you change it.
Yep.
Okay.
So let me go over to our screen here, and let's just go add that value onto our UI. So you'll see that current price is available as a field that I can pick. Let's go drag it in, put it right underneath suggested price. We'll run this, and what you're going to see is that we'll be computing that value as we scroll through all the records. And what's kind of cool about this is the way it works is LightSwitch watches at runtime when this is being calculated. So we know which fields are part of that computation. So if I go through here and I change the price to $18 or $187 or whatever and I move off, right?
It's all the prices valued automatically.
If I change the date, suddenly it's being updated. So, you know, no more changed event logic and stuff like that to figure out all the places.
Or normally, this is the, you know, people that are doing WPF today would have to use, say, observable collection or add a calculate button to update fields built in.
We just do it. Yep.
Sweet.
And there are obviously some places where you could get in trouble, and we detect those at runtime as well. So we detect those when you launch the app and say, whoop, that's not going to work, right? And we won't let you create the complete infinite recursion kind of problem or something like that that you could get into.
Okay.
So that's kind of the gist of that stuff. What else do I want to show you? Do you want to see the...
Yeah, so what do you got?
I'll tell you what. Why don't you ask me a question? Let me close it down, and I'll install an extension that gets a completely different look and feel.
So let's talk about the extension points for this.
Sure.
So you mentioned UI theming.
Yep.
We talked about custom controls. Data sources via WCF RIA. What about the IDE? I mean, does this get the full Visual Studio extensibility model? And do I have to have LightSwitch to play, or can I use Visual Studio 2010 if I'm a cool Ultimate customer?
So LightSwitch will ship as its own SKU in the Visual Studio lineup, right? So you'll be able to go out and buy Visual Studio LightSwitch and just have that. In that case, all you have is this experience for building your solutions. The extensibility is whatever we have, right, in terms of IDE add-ins you can do. So a lot of the editor stuff you can do, you know, you could do editor extensions and things like that in the product. If you have an MSDN subscription when this comes out, you'll be able to download an update that adds LightSwitch into your Visual Studio Pro Premium or Ultimate.
So I don't have to have two IDEs open. Oh,
yeah.
Very nice.
We refer to it as the vertically integrated product, right?
Okay.
So it really just shows up as a project type at that point for you. And
sweet.
That really is what facilitates this idea of I want to build the custom screen.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, okay, you just have a Silverlight control project, standard, normal Silverlight control project, and your LightSwitch project in one solution. And you're off and running. So while I was talking, I went and installed an extension. Right?
Really? Okay, I didn't see that.
I think I did. So you see, I have this.
I think I did.
You have this cool.
You are not going to go touch. Oh, geez.
Well, I'm not because I can't. I don't actually have a touch laptop.
Oh, okay.
It's touch friendly.
Touch friendly.
So I'm just going to turn it on for this project. So now that I have it available, I can go over here and I should be able to drop this down. I see a new shell.
Awesome.
Right? So we'll just go pick the new shell. We'll F5 it. And what we will see is that our app will come up, and it'll have what I think is a pretty different look to it.
Yeah.
And we didn't do anything other than specify we wanted a different shell template.
So while that's running, you mentioned the ability to do other kinds of apps. Everything is Silverlight, though, right?
Right. So this is a Silverlight 4 client app. So let's just say, looks pretty different.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Navigation is totally different. We call it the touch-friendly one because you see that the navigation, the things that the shell can control around navigation, like moving back and forth, they're much more easy to hit with a finger than a mouse, right?
So and this was all built in, is this like Blend and, I guess?
They built this in a combination of Blend and Visual Studio Professional. So there's some code behind it, and then they laid it all out in Blend. And we lay all of our templates out in tools like Blend as well. The templates themselves are just XAML with some special placeholders that we can understand as part of LightSwitch. So anyway, so that's what this looks like. To your question about other types of apps, right?
Yeah.
So by default, we're creating this out-of-browser desktop app. And we're deploying it in a kind of classic two-tier configuration.
Yes.
I could do it as a three-tier configuration, or I could decide that I want a browser-based solution.
All right. What about Windows Phone? So this, if I wanted to build a Windows Phone app, that's, you know, that same data entry thing, this is going to rock my world.
So not
how long
in
V1. Do I have to wait?
Not in V1. we're going to get V1 out the door, and then we'll figure out what's next.
Because the whole screen model and all that, I mean, this is no code to build your first app.
Yeah. So it's something that I'd say it's the most popular, common first question I get.
Oh, really?
Days,
okay.
Well, what about phone? And, you know, it's on the list of things we're looking at.
Okay.
So you see I have the same app. The only difference is that now my outer frame is
in a browser,
right? And it just so happens that I just rebuilt my machine, so the only browser I have on here is IE. But, you know, at this point, it's just
everything that Silverlight works on. Sure.
Little things have happened too, like the export to Excel is gone because we use direct COM integration with Excel.
Because it's out of browser.
It's out of browser. We can't do that, so we just removed that button for you by default. So that's the shtick. And then when you're all done, we walk you through a publish process where we go and let's just go up here and I'll just take a step or two. We won't complete it, but
now can we publish direct? Do I see Azure?
You don't see Azure in the first beta, but you will by the time we release you in the second beta.
I'm gonna let it slide.
So you know we're just gonna go through and ask you, hey, are you able to connect to the machine from the machine you're on with Visual Studio? In which case we'll do a direct push. If not, we'll create MS deploy packages to get your servers and stuff installed. Your database configuration, same thing. Is it a new database or an existing one? And then we're, you know, keeping track of all the places you grabbed things from, and this is the first opportunity you have to set them. So if you need to change from a test to production database or something like that, you can do that as part of the package definition.
Awesome.
And you just pay a bum, you're done, right? And yes, right now it's just, you know, the on-premise kind of machines. In the second beta, we will support publishing your app tier directly to Windows Azure and or your database directly to SQL Azure.
Awesome. So, very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple other things when we were talking about extensibility. Anything else that you know customers are going to want to, or third-party providers just extending the experience?
Yeah, so we're working with a number of third parties already. So we're working with a lot of the traditional control folks. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at probably a set of those screen templates that are optimized for their control sets, right? So,
and this would be like, I'm going to throw in infragistics.
Yes. So you can imagine that when you create a new screen, you have the infragistics, list and detail screen, and by default,
I've seen them in MSTN magazine. Yes.
Yeah. By default,
beautiful.
It uses all of their controls, and they have the right properties set on to really light up their controls, right?
Awesome.
And add value there. The other groups that we're talking to, we got a couple folks that we're talking to about data sources as well.
OData? Maybe as a native one?
So
getting back to my Netflix one, because so much of Netflix is actually searching for videos, and you could probably do a screen that's just a full-size video player.
Yep. So we do not currently support consuming just generic OData.
Okay.
But
extensibility point?
The extensibility point, you'd have to do... You could build your own custom proxy and just reference it as an assembly and get it, and write code to do it. You could make it look like a WCF free service to us, and that would work. You know, this is a place I'm sure I'm going to get plenty of feedback, especially after you were so kind to bring it up right now.
Oh, well, I'm asking, but it sounds like you all have thought of this, and it's not, you've made a philosophical decision to ignore it. It's just it's a question of time.
Right. It's a scoping decision we've made currently for V1. What's interesting
is... I'm not trying to throw you under...
That's cool.
Actually, I am.
I know you are. Okay. You always do. The interesting thing is our SharePoint stuff, at runtime, we're using OData to talk to SharePoint.
Right? Oh, really? Okay.
It's just the design time we use the richness of the SharePoint object model to discover and learn more about it. So this is a place we're seeing folks look at, you know, adding other data sources in a first-class way.
Mm-hmm. What about breakpoints? So custom code, my code, oops, kind of sucks, or I'm using some validation library, or reusing something. I mean, this is full Visual Studio at that point, right?
Full Visual Studio. I haven't done this for a few weeks, but we should just be able to hit a breakpoint.
Oh, geez. It's not like we're recording live or anything. Okay, this is going to be hilarious.
Boom, bam.
Yes.
So let's see. We'll bring up get to our product details screen here.
I forgot where we added that one.
So it should show up in here. There we go.
Hey! All right.
So, yeah, full debugging, right? Should have all the rich, cool hover tips, right? All that kind of fun stuff everybody knows and loves. It's all in there. So
that's awesome.
Integration with source code control, right? You can check the stuff in a TFS and collaborate with other people on your solutions. All that stuff is fully supported as well.
Okay, so let's do a recap.
Yep.
Line of business applications, this is easiest way to do it.
Yep.
Right. August 23rd is public beta.
Public beta.
Okay. And where do they get feedback, and where do they download it on August 23rd?
So,
How do they send this feedback to you or support questions? Like, hey, I just did light switch, and I really think you all should, you know, prioritize A over B.
Yeah, so, there's a sort of right now currently just one pager marketing site that's up that I don't remember the URL off the top of my head.
Okay.
But search for Light Switch, we're pretty much the only thing out there. And right now, before the beta's out, you'll see just a few videos of the capabilities of the product. So if you know,
this is showing off what it does.
Teaser videos, right?
Sure.
On the 23rd, we'll make sure there's a link from there to just go get it right now.
Okay.
You can download the beta. That's also when we'll bring our MSDN. Dev Center online as well, and you'll start seeing more of that how do I kind of
content. great
so help you get started with some of these screen creations and the next levels of customizations folks will want to do, and then we'll have forums, the typical things, the standard stuff that we do that way to help do some support and gather feedback.
They got a flame somewhere.
And what the team blog,
are you guys announcing pricing?
We are not.
Okay.
We're still not closed on the pricing. It will be the first of the four pay, right, SKUs in Visual Studio. I'm expecting a very moderate price on this thing.
Okay. Not mortgaging the house. Okay.
Not mortgaging the house. It sits below Visual Studio Professional as a price point. So there's your ceiling. It will not be that high, but it sits above Express. So.
Okay, yeah, that's a very large gap, but sure, that's great. Good stuff.
Cool.
All right. Well, thank you, Jay, for coming. And this looks awesome. I think a lot of people will hopefully on Channel 9 get a chance to play with this.
So, great.
Cool. Thanks.